We've been talking about Day One Christianity. That's been the short series we've been on. And as we've been looking at this whole notion of Day One Christianity, I don't know if you've made this conclusion, but I sure have, that what they had in the first day of their faith was not what we have in the first day of our faith. Have you noticed that, anybody? In fact, have you ever read the book of Acts and said, doesn't it look a little different than the churches that we go to? Right? Has anybody ever made that connection? I sure have. And you can relegate it off to, well, you know, that was 2,000 years ago, or, you know, they were in another region, and God always works better if you have a passport, you know, whatever. But I think you got to come to the conclusion that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Jesus is. That's the scripture we have right there. He's the same. He hasn't changed. He is consistent eternally, which means his power has never diminished. His calling upon his church has never shrunken back. It has remained consistent. So who has changed? Maybe it's us, not him. Okay? So we're talking about transition, and we're looking at this whole notion of how do we rediscover and become, I want to say this, a church that more resembles the book of Acts than whatever I saw last week, last month, last year, last decade in our church and the Church of America in general. And so that's the transition. And I think many churches all across the world are asking this question as well. Lord, how do we rediscover what's known as biblical Christianity? I read this book by a Southern Baptist, I got it yesterday. I flipped through a book by a Southern Baptist consultant. And he said, what the church in America needs right now is we need to be converted from churchianity into biblical Christianity. He said, because what's going on in our churches, this is Southern Baptist, by the way, he goes, ain't what I is in the Bible. He don't use that diction because he's a lot more educated than me. But he said, it's not the same. And what Americans have grown used to is we think that Christianity is what's modeling the church, and it needs to be destroyed. You can't even save it, he said. Basically, you need to convert what we have into biblical Christianity. Well, I'd agree. And I think Jesus would agree as well. Some of us are familiar with the terminology old wineskin, new wineskin. And what that refers to is that every generation, God needs to have a renewal movement, so to speak. That the old renewal movement that happened last generation tends to calcify and institutionalize, and he needs a fresh move of his spirit in every generation. And so Jesus uses the terminology in Luke chapter 5. It says, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Listen to this. No one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Let me ask you a question. Is the old really better?
No.
What?
No.
No, the old is not better. But it says, anyone who has drunk the old longs for the old. And longs to the old to the point that they can no longer discern what is on the heart of God, and they call what God is doing not as good as what he did before. Does that make sense? That their senses are confounded. They cannot discern properly what the move of God is. Okay? Now, we are an old wineskin church. I hope I'm not surprising you. We are an old wineskin church. Now, I hope that we can get onto the other side of it. But I got to be honest with you. There's no gimmies in the kingdom of God this way. And when I read this, I say, I was birthed in the Jesus movement in 1973, and that was the fresh move of God. That was the new wineskin for its age. Well, that revival is now 31 years old, right? You know, some of you look pretty good, but you don't look as good as my baby in terms of skin-wise and healthy, right? A little baby is very fresh. You and I, even when you're 31, you're not as fresh, are you? Right? Some of you are like, amen. Right? Well, add another 11 years like me, and you're even less fresh. Okay? I mean, you could be sassy, but, you know, I mean, you're fresh and, you know, ignore it. Anyway, so that is our challenge. That we can go, wow, we're so good, or, you know, worship so hot, or, well, we're so prophetic, or whatever. And I go, you know what? Yeah, it's all good stuff, man. It's all old, too. So what's God doing in the new season? Well, I got to find out. But I know that one of my obstacles will be whatever we've experienced yesterday, last month, and last year, and last 10 years. Does that make sense? That's a sobering note. And there is a delusional aspect about drinking old wine that says you refuse the new. That's set up in you, guys. That's in you. I'm sorry. That's just part of who you are. That when God begins to move in a new way, the very first thing that comes up is, the old is, you know, this isn't what I used to be. And in fact, it's not even God. Because if God's bringing something new, you would say, let's get on board with that. But there's a natural tendency that says, no, we ain't going. And so I think we're at a crossroads as a church. I know we are in a crossroads as a church. I addressed it with our senior leaders, our eldership, this past Tuesday night. We're at a crossroads as a church. And if we continue to do whatever we've been doing for the last 10 years, as good as it's been, we're going to miss it. Is that sober enough? Okay. Matthew chapter 13. This is a scripture that if you really think about it, will blow your mind. Jesus coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they ask? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, in his own house, is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus, you know what's really bizarre in this story is they knew Jesus. This was his hometown. They had spent 30 years with Jesus. Think about that. I mean, or let's say 25, because he was in Egypt for a number of years, okay? Let's say at least 20. They spent at least 20 years with Jesus. If anybody knew Jesus, let the lame walk, huh? If anyone knew Jesus, they would know Jesus. But then when Jesus came in a new season, which may have been only 3 months later, what did they say? We like the old guy. Fix my door, Jesus. I mean, you know, what is this miracle stuff? Drop it and fix my door. Their old experience of God negated their present acceptance of what God was now. Does that make sense? That it's entirely possible that God can move in a new way in the midst of this congregation and thousands of other congregations across America, and we could say, you know, he didn't move that way before. I don't like it. Does that make sense? It says they were offended. Why were they offended? Because he wasn't like he used to be. Okay? He did not fit their paradigm or their understanding of who Jesus was. Okay, let me say this. Your understanding of God has largely been shaped by what? Your previous experiences, right? Your previous experiences with God has shaped how you see God, how you understand God, and how you navigate and negotiate your life. When God does new things, he violates everything that you've known before. Not violates and says, you know, violates scripture per se, but he supersedes what he's done in your life, and he shows himself in a new way. I posed this question last time. I said, when the Jesus movement came, it was radically persecuted because churches had organs and high ecclesiastical robes, and everybody said, thee, thou, and King James this and that. They were just out there. They had choirs, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying that that's out there. And then when the Jesus movement came and they did guitars and, you know, all this kind of thing, and people didn't have to wear robes or ties anymore, that people persecuted it radically. I said, that was a huge transformation for the church. Well, I think we're upon another transformation of the church. I sure hope so, because I sure don't want to be continuing in the same direction we've been over the last 20 years. I don't want our society to continue in that direction either. Do you? I want a reversal. I want a change. So we need change. We need renewal. That's just a given. I cannot argue with that. Okay? But when the change happens, could it be as severe as that? Could it be as offensive as that, to the point that we who, you know, we feel we're pretty progressive could go, I don't think we want that. This is a call for humility. This is your God, and I ain't. And this is your church, it's not my church. And we're going to pursue you and walk out everything that we know to do. But Lord, you're God, and we submit this church, and we submit our lives to you. Okay? I want to address something quickly. I'm not going to get to the rest of the notes. I may preach them next week, because they're pretty dang good. Just kidding. Well, we'll see. But we talked about the religious tapeworm. There is a religious tapeworm in the church, and I think it needs to be dealt with. The old does not accept the new, and the people in his hometown did not accept him, because to some degree, Jesus came to them in a way that violated their understanding of who God was. Okay? Let me write that down. Their understanding was violated. To the old wineskin people, it is wisdom to cling to the old and not embrace the new. Does that make sense? It's wisdom. When the traditional churches began to persecute the new move of God during the Jesus movement, they didn't say so. You know what we're persecuting you for? Because we're dumb. We're stupid. We missed it. You guys are hot, but we're going to reject you because we're dumb. You think they had that kind of attitude? Or they say, you don't know what you're doing. We know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. So they had a wisdom that actually was contrary to what God was doing.